Good morning, and a very warm welcome in particular to anybody who's visiting, who's a newcomer, or here for the first time. It's good to have you with us, and please do stay on and join us after the service for refreshments in the Mayo Hall. And then at 11:30, as usually, there is interactive worship, and then at 6:30, there's reflective worship with communion today. A couple of items of personal news. As you may have heard, Margaret Randall, poor lady, has fallen and fractured her femur while on holiday in Corfu. Anne Patterson, excuse me, is getting respite care in a residential home in Cobham. A couple of things happening this week. First of all, don't forget that tomorrow evening at 7:30, there's a joint KURC, All Saints and St. John's confirmation service here at the church with Leslie and the bishop presiding. And I think it's three people who are entering into membership from KURC, so it would be nice if some of you could come along and give them your support. And then on Wednesday at 2:00, it's what we had called a summer tea, but now, surprise, surprise, it's been rebranded as a Jubilee tea. And not just tea, but quizzes and entertainment too. If you've not been to one before, I'm sure you'd enjoy it, so please do come along. Everybody, of course, welcome. We're still looking for even more talent from KURC for the talent show, which takes place on the 7th of July. When we say talent, it's not just performing talent, but any talents you may have had and are able to put to good use in making things, creating things, and bringing them along for people to have a look at or to consume, I suppose, as well. And finally, congratulations to David Richard's son, Alan, who's been awarded a CB, a Companion of the Order of the Bath, in the birthday honours list. As you may know, to help mark the church's 350th anniversary, we're putting together an album, a compilation of entries from members telling their story of why and how they came to KURC. You've probably read about this, but you may not have contributed yet. If you'd like to contribute, Tony would love to have your contributions as soon as possible. But you can wait to the end of service. And finally, don't forget that next Saturday is the first day of this season's Open Gardens program, and it kicks off with a double header. Two gardens are open in North Kingston, the Cooks and the Moors, and they're both crackers, so do please try and come along.
Good morning, and happy Father's Day to any fathers around. Shall we say together, we are Kingston United Reformed Church. We celebrate our diversity of worship and freedom of relationship with the state. With the whole Christian Church, we will follow Jesus. We will serve him in our community and in our daily lives, in the strength of the Holy Spirit. good morning. And happy Father's Day to any fathers around. We've made our statement. Let's say again, living and loving God, there are so many things we bring to you today. The music of the organ, our voices raised in praise, our prayers, silent as well as spoken, for ourselves and for others. And there's the reading of the Bible, the preaching of the gospel. Take all these things and weave them into worship so alive that we may become your new people, ready to serve you in worlds of tomorrow. So let us commence our worship with hymn number 119 and sing to the Lord, 119. So let us now have a time of prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your great gift of love, the love which we are able to share with those around us, which gives us a sense of self-worth and belonging, which enriches our lives in so many ways. You have opened your heart to us. Help us to do the same to you. We thank you for your love which defies all expression, constant, total, inexhaustible, flowing out to us like a never-ending stream. We thank you for loving us before we ever loved you, and for continuing to love us, even when we fail to love you in return. Deepen our love for you and one another. Help us to be faithful and true in all our relationships, and most especially in our relationship with you. We thank you that we can put our hand into yours, knowing that you will lead, support, and hold us throughout our lives, that you will supply all our needs and far more besides. We praise you for our experience of that truth across the years, the way you hold firm to us despite our faults and faithlessness, never letting go of us even when we let go of you. Forgive us that we have let go so often, intent on going our own way, clinging to what ultimately can never satisfy. Forgive us for doubting you when times are hard, questioning your ability to lead us safely through. Forgive us for reaching out only when we have need of you, expecting you to lift us from trouble of our own making and to set us on our feet again. You have touched our lives through your grace. In gratitude we respond. Help us to put our hand again in yours, in simple trust, quiet confidence, and eager expectation, knowing that whatever we face, and wherever we may find ourselves, you will hold us firm. You have touched our lives through your grace. And we pray in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And shall we continue with the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Someone found out that ducks in southeast London quack differently than ducks in Cornwall. The theory was that because of the heavy traffic and noise pollution in London, the ducks had to be more strident with their quacking. But in Cornwall, you may well notice that the ducks quack more quietly. I just food for thought. If a stray mallard duck from Cornwall by mistake landed in London, would he be accepted by the London ducks? Or would he be isolated? Would he be able to find a mate, nest satisfactorily? Or would he, because he quacked differently, be isolated? Because after all, ducks are the same wherever you are, that they all need food, water, plenty of water, safe nesting, and to belong and be with other ducks. A separate story. Peggy loved going to church. She found that worshipping God refreshed her spirit and her mind. So she tried to never miss a Sunday, despite the fact that her daughter tended to be a bit slow getting up in the morning and needed hustling. One particular morning, She had to hustle her daughter into the car. It was just a tad late. And they had to drive on a strip of motorway to get to the next slip road to get to church. And she was cursing away in the car because there was a car in front of her going so slowly, well down below the speed limit, and it was holding her up. And she could see it was an elderly person driving. Elderly people shouldn't be allowed on the motorways. This is dreadful, doddery old fool. And of course her daughter was grinning away, lapping it up. And then eventually a gap appeared in the centre lane and she moved out to overtake. She looked over and there was her beloved minister that she had admired and adored, who'd always given her this pastoral care and wise counselling. And she was calling him a dodgy old fool. So again, there's just something there that's food for thought. I'll read the next bit. In his autobiography, Mahatma Gandhi wrote that during his student days, he read the Gospels seriously and considered converting to Christianity. He believed that in the teachings of Jesus, he could find the solution to the caste system that was dividing the people of India. So one Sunday, he decided to attend the services at a nearby church and talk to the minister about becoming a Christian. When he entered the sanctuary, however, the usher refused to give him a seat and suggested that he worship with his own people. Gandhi left the church and never returned. "If Christians have caste differences also," he said, "I might as well remain a Hindu." And it says that usher's prejudice not only betrayed Jesus, but also turned a person away from trusting Jesus as Saviour. So again, food for thought. So let us now sing again hymn number 268, "Jesus is Lord."
Jesus is Lord, the ancient unconquerable, all by his power is true and powers planned and made. Jesus is Lord, the universe proclaimed, sun and stars in heaven by Jesus. She came to thy pain on Calvary's tree. Jesus is Lord, from him not proceed. He gave his life a ransom, not setting us free. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Praise him, hallelujah, for Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, the sin, the mighty conqueror, from death he rose and was born to die. Jesus is Lord, God sends his Holy Spirit, to bring the world to God. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord.
Our first reading, God has selected someone for Samuel to anoint as the future king of Israel. And it's going to be given to us by Jean Thompson.
Reading from 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you go on grieving over Saul? I have rejected him as king of Israel. But now get some olive oil and go to Bethlehem to a man named Jesse, because I have chosen one of his sons to be king." "How can I do that?" Samuel asked. "If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord answered, "Take a calf with you and say that you are there to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will tell you what to do. You will anoint as king the man I tell you to." Samuel did what the Lord told him to do and went to Bethlehem, where the city leaders came trembling to meet him and asked, "Is this a peaceful visit, seer?" "Yes," he answered, "I have come to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me." He also told Jesse and his sons to purify themselves, and he invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Jesse's son Eliab and said to himself, "This man standing here in the Lord's presence is surely the one he has chosen." But the Lord said to him, "Pay no attention to how tall and handsome he is. I have rejected him because I do not judge as people judge. They look at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart." Then Jesse called his son Abinadab and brought him to Samuel. But Samuel said, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen him either." Jesse then brought Shammah. "No, the Lord hasn't chosen him either," Samuel said. In this way, Jesse brought seven of his sons to Samuel. And Samuel said to him, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these." Then he asked him, "Have you any more sons?" Jesse answered, "There is still the youngest, but he is out taking care of the sheep." "Tell him to come here," Samuel said. "We won't offer the sacrifice until he comes." So Jesse sent for him. He was a handsome, healthy young man, and his eyes sparkled. The Lord said to Samuel, "This is the one. Anoint him." Samuel took the olive oil and anointed David in front of his brothers. Immediately the Spirit of the Lord took control of David and was with him from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah.
Thank you, Jean. Now, Alan Oscroft is going to give us our reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, the parables of the growing seed and the mustard seed.
The second reading is from Mark 4, commencing at verse 26. The parable of the growing seed. Jesus went on to say, "The kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed in his field. He sleeps at night, is up and about during the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing. Yet he does not know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plants grow and bear fruit. First the tender stalk appears, then the ear, and finally the earful of corn. When the corn is ripe, the man starts cutting it with his sickle, because harvest time has come. The parable of the mustard seed. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, asked Jesus. What parable shall we use to explain it? It is like this. A man takes a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the world, and plants it in the ground. After a while, it grows up and becomes the biggest of all plants. It puts out such large branches that the birds come and make their nests in its shade. Jesus preached his message to the people using many other parables like these. He told them as much as they could understand. He would not speak to them without using parables. But when he was alone with his disciples, he would explain everything to them.
Thank you, Alan. Let us sing again hymn number 413, 413. Can I just check that this is, the sound's okay? People can hear it, Barbara. People can hear at the back. It could be louder. Is that better? Okay, thank you. I wouldn't want you to miss any of this. Good things can come from small beginnings, like the mustard seed. The Reverend Chadvara was concerned over someone who committed suicide. And through his small beginnings, the Samaritans are now an established charity throughout the UK. Who knows how many lives have been saved and turned around through that access to a listening ear. good things can come from small beginnings. Street pastors started from a pastor in Brixton wanting to do something about troubles involving local young people and knife crime. Saul was king in Israel, but had displeased God through turning away from God, building a monument to himself and looting when defeating the Amalekites. In the Old Testament reading today, we hear how God selected David to be the king to follow on from Saul. Jesse's son Eliab is rejected despite his handsomeness. Pay no attention to how tall and handsome he is. I have rejected him because I do not judge as man judges. Man looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. The other sons are also rejected until Samuel comes to the youngest and least of the sons, David. God warned Samuel not to judge by appearance alone. Appearance doesn't necessarily reveal what people are really like. There may well be qualities that are overlooked just because the individual may not possess the particular outward physical qualities that society, encouraged by the media, currently admires. How much today does society judge by outward appearance? To the extent that young women become anorexic because of the emphasis on slimness and so-called beauty in many adverts. The popular BBC programme The Voice, in the early stages, relied as a gimmick upon the judges not seeing the singers until they had decided on the quality of the voice. God judges by faith and character, the person we are. God looks at the heart, at our inner thoughts, feelings, and motives. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall inherit the earth. God is to be the judge, not us. Judgmental people are not generally greatly liked. And being judgmental tends to get in the way of tolerance and acceptance. Before I specialised in mental health as a social worker, I did a bit of everything. As you may guess, I'm now retired. I was once at an evening school concert to support a mother whose little girl was in the show. I was there partly to ensure that the mum actually made it to the show to watch her needy daughter. After the show, I was introduced to the teacher as a friend. Well, understandably, the mother didn't like to say I was her social worker. 3 weeks later, I was at a meeting at the school to discuss concerns about the family. The teacher was suddenly talking about the poor morals of the mother, how she had brought a scruffy, unshaven man to the school show, no doubt one of her dubious boyfriends. The scruffy man was, of course, me, dressed casually rather than for work. And it was the end of the day, so I hadn't shaved in the evening. The teacher's perception was coloured by her assumption of the stereotype boyfriend she expected to see. Something similar happened when on a small council estate, a client complained to me how Mrs. X had all her bills paid by the social services. How does she get away with it? Also, while her husband is out, she regularly has a man in with his green Hillman imp barked outside. You know what's coming. I explained that I was the driver of the imp, and she certainly didn't get any financial help from social services. Again, assumptions and judgments. We all hold stereotypes. The difficulty is in seeing through the assumed characteristics of the stereotype to the person, her or his self. God chose the youngest and apparent least of the sons to be the one anointed by Samuel. He chose David, who on the death of Saul became possibly one of the greatest and certainly the most renowned of Israel's kings. Jesus saw each individual as they really were, the person, not the label. In the parable of the mustard seed, the smallest becomes the tallest. Jesus is inferring that although his ministry had very small beginnings, it would grow into a worldwide community of believers. The mustard tree will offer shade to the whole world, so to speak. So how do we link these lines of thought? To truly further God's kingdom, we are to aim not to be judgmental or jumping to assumptions, relying upon stereotypes, and generally being or feeling self-righteous. God's kingdom can only grow if we grow. God looks at the heart, at our inner thoughts, feelings, and motives. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall inherit the earth. A few weeks ago, we considered the parable where Jesus said he was the true vine, that we need to keep close to the main stem and prune back or cut out that which is unwanted. We need to prune out our reliance upon stereotypes and judging people by their outward appearance rather than their inner qualities. Would a duck from Cornwall be accepted in London? Would Gandhi have been a Christian? Here at Kingston United Reformed Church, we accommodate a variety of people each winter in our temporary night shelter. Just because they've fallen upon hard times, are probably not well clothed, not well groomed, or have the latest hairstyles, this does not reveal the person each person is. There may, as in all society, be one or two with severely damaged personalities, which has provoked their homelessness and make them seem difficult. But the vast majority are just as caring and sharing as any other section of society. If during the winter I approach the foyer with Brenda in a wheelchair, it is often one of the night shelter people who spots us and jumps up to hold the door open, or who smiles and says hello as we enter. The more we take the time to see the person, the more we automatically will be showing him or her respect, and consequently will be more supportive. The more like Jesus we will become. Jesus talked with, respected, and supported people from all walks of life. Judgmental people tend to be unsupportive and intolerant. There is a poem, "Don't find fault with the man who limps or stumbles along life's road, unless you have worn the shoes he wears or struggled beneath his load. There may be tacks in his shoes that hurt, though hidden from your view. The burden he bears, if placed on your back, might cause you to stumble too. Don't be too hard on the person who errs, or pelt them with wood or stone, unless you are sure, yea, double sure, that you have no fault of your own." The parable about the farmer planting seeds in a field is about the kingdom of God, revealing that spiritual growth is a continual, gradual process that is fully consummated in a harvest of spiritual maturity. The process of spiritual maturity and our journey towards becoming pure in heart can be compared to the slow but certain growth of a plant, providing it is cared for and fed. Pilgrimage is an ever-changing path of discovery which we can travel sometimes easily, sometimes painfully. We are all on a pilgrimage, like John Bunyan's pilgrim. We face all sorts of distractions, some very subtle and enticing, such as feeling superior to others and relying upon stereotypes in judging others. I was wondering how to finish off. Ultimately, like all things in our faith, being non-judgmental and not blindly allowing stereotypes to form our attitudes is all part of loving our neighbour. So I'll finish with something which is not of my own writing. Money can build a charming house, but only love can furnish it with the feeling of a home. Duty can pack an adequate packed lunch. But only love would decide to tuck in an extra little treat or a love note. Money can buy a television set. But in a family, love controls how much it is watched and what is watched. Obligation can send a child to bed on time. But love reads a little story, tucks the covers in just right, and passes out kisses and hugs. Obligation can cook a meal, but love embellishes the table, it says, with potted ivy trailing around slender candles. Well, I can't say I've actually tried that, but I suppose putting a rose in a small vase or something like that is the same principle. Duty writes a letter to a child who is away, but love tucks a joke or a picture or some chocolate inside. Compulsion keeps a sparkling, tidy house, but love and prayer produce a happy family. Duty is easily offended if it isn't appreciated. But love learns to laugh and to work for the sheer joy of doing, giving and contributing. Love is always the icing that transforms the ordinary into the truly delightful. And the writer goes on to say, add a big dose of love to whatever you do today and see the person, not the stereotype. Amen. Let us sing hymn number 364. And now for our prayers of intercession. Blessed are you, Lord our God. You come to us in our need. You bind up our wounds and restore us to life. May we be good neighbours to all who are in need or distress, and so share in your saving love. Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord God, as you have called us to work with you, show us the ways of your salvation. May your church care for the weak and defenseless, for the needy and the poor. Let us never avoid our responsibility and pass by on the other side. We pray for the work of the Samaritans and for all relief organisations there to help others. We pray for peace and justice in our world. We pray for peace in the Middle East, a resolution of the tragedy in Syria. We ask your blessing upon all who are working for peace, all the negotiators. We ask your blessing upon all who have suffered from the violence. We pray for all victims of conflict in the many parts of the world. We give thanks for all who work in aid workers, medical people who work to help in far-off parts of the world, and for those who work in this country for the benefit of others. For all who work in the rescue services, we ask your blessing upon the ambulance and fire services, social workers, carers, doctors, nurses. We ask your blessing on all who work quietly within their community, seeing to neighbours and meeting their needs. We give thanks for all who in some way or another have cared for us and have given us support and comfort in our needs. We pray for those who suffer ill health maybe in hospital, maybe at home. And in half a minute of silence, we bring to you, if we wish, people known to us personally in need of your healing and support. We remember friends and loved ones who have departed from us and ask that they enjoy a closer fellowship with you in your kingdom of peace. Merciful Father, we pray in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let us take our offertory. Lord God, we ask your blessing upon these offerings to be used in your service, both here and in the community. Amen. Okay. Our final hymn, number 96, Great is Thy Faithfulness, 96. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our souls. May the blessing of God the Creator, Jesus his Son, and of the Holy Spirit be with us today and always. Amen.